Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, Casey Lehman. We have a beautiful family roundtable in the house tonight. It's just three of us. It's myself, Chris, and our brother KJ up from San Diego, who is the host of the Welcome to the Village podcast. And tonight we are discussing the idea of Black History and Black History Month and why we as a people don't often like discussing our history. And KJ, you want to open it talking about the quote from Morgan Freeman that came about recently?
Recently, hey, this is KJ, y'all. I guess recently there's been an interview with Morgan Freeman, and he spoke to as to why he didn't believe in Black history. And when you really break down what he says, it was, you know, why are we having all of our history being displayed in only 28 days?
Right.
You know what I mean? Versus every other month, versus 30, or even just having saying, hey, this is American history. Yeah, it happened within the Black community, whatever you want to say, but it did happen in America. So right. It is technically American history.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get it. I get what he's saying, but I also get that sometimes you have to put a spotlight on things.
Yes.
Because we just said earlier, Black history is painful.
Yes.
So we have to learn and grow from there. But sometimes the spotlight makes it more recognizable, and it's, we can teach about it. We can learn from it, mm-hmm. instead of just saying, here's 28 days, here's your time, and now we're done.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's kind of sad. I understand why people get tired of Black History Month, feeling like, you know, we get the shaft, or why is it just this one month? You know, I remember that where they said it started off as Black History Week, and the reason he chose it is between Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass' birthday. Mm-hmm. I'm all for celebrating 365 days a year. I don't have a problem speaking about my history whenever.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime is a good time to talk about it. You know, if you want to feel like, okay, in the month of February, we'll go a little above and beyond and probably get a little more into it, which is fine. You know, but people seem to like... Morgan Freeman said, don't really talk about Black History at all. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, it's February. Now we can talk about it. And then don't really want to.
And you know what, honey? When I think about your family, and my family is similar in this regard, your family has a very deep respect for their own familial history.
Mm-hmm.
So you have family members that have traced their roots back to slavery,
mm-hmm.
and have identified the slave they all were born from, that one ancestor,
right.
and her education and her lineage and her experience, that gives you a deep foundation and appreciation for history, as where I feel there's probably a good number of us who have the exact opposite experience.
Right.
We're not spending time talking to Big Mama, much less researching anything beyond immediate family. Mm-hmm. We don't know where our families, you know, we probably know where people come from, but we don't know who they socialize with. We don't mm-hmm. know much about their parents. We don't hear much about their experiences growing up in the 40s, 50s, 60s. Mm-hmm. And so I think that ends up allowing people to not have an appreciation for history in general.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start to bring up the general history that impacts all of us, they just don't value it very much.
Yeah, I think at least for one immediate family, I'll get to the deeper, the way back history later. But I think for right now, you have family members who don't like sharing their own history. I've
right.
heard a number of friends who were like, yeah, I wanted to ask my grandmother or my mama about something. And they're like, yeah, I'm not talking about that. And you're like, well, it's your history. I'm not asking, you know, even if it's bad, I like to know, you know, what your life is like, what went on and stuff. I'm like, I'm taking that to the grave. I'm not sharing any of that history with y'all, which yeah. is kind of fucked up.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of it, like KJ said, is painful. I think coming out of Reconstruction, Black people and their relationships with one another and difficulties as far as marriages and families, you got a lot of blended families. You got a lot of kids born out of wedlock. I mean, and granted, I feel like for every case you have that, you have your nuclear two-parent household that also exists.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you got some families that are embarrassed by, you know, multiple marriages, kids mm-hmm. from different parents, you know, or some sort of sordid beginnings to a relationship that led to a child, infidelity, whatever the case may be. And the thing is, like, if that's what happened, that's what happened. You know what I mean? It just is what it is, and there's no point being embarrassed about it. It's just a part of life. It happens to every race of people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we need to take the spotlight off of ourselves in that regard. Black mm-hmm. people need to stop thinking we're the only ones that make these kind of mistakes when it comes to relationships.
Well, I think media perpetuates that.
They totally do, and we have a tendency to believe it. Mm-hmm. And we need to stop believing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, I could go on and on. It has a lot to do with our foundation, mm-hmm. not having a homeland that we all actually subscribe to and know a lot about, mm-hmm. not having a mother tongue. I've said that a million times. So we don't have that which unites us. And so many other groups have such a solid foundation that runs so deep, like beyond, you know, thousands and thousands of years, and the sort of cultural practices that are in place that makes it seem that they have more stability in the way that they develop and build relationships than we do, because mm-hmm. we basically had to create and craft our own model, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but I don't think most of us come from situations that are that bad. There are some bad situations, mm-hmm. but not everybody's not dealing with that.
Mm-hmm. I think, I've been very fortunate to see a few things, see a few countries like you have as well. And after speaking with, you know, other quote unquote black men from like Canada, the UK, Australia, even, they don't say, oh, I'm African Australian. They say, no, I'm Australian. I'm Canadian. I'm British. We're the only country that has this label of, are you Latino American? Are you African American? Do you identify as Hispanic American? It's like, how about I'm an American?
Right.
Like, I was born in Houston, Texas. I am an American. I was born here.
Right.
My skin happens to be black.
Right.
For lack of another term for us, because I don't even like to really say black. I just, whatever. I'm American.
Right.
I'm here.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know. The whole labeling is another issue in itself for me.
I think... It wasn't until I did travel abroad that I actually could understand my identity as an American. Mm-hmm. Up until that point, I would always say, I'm black.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was abroad, then I was like, ah, yeah, I mm-hmm. am American.
Yes.
I know what this means now.
That's when it changed
now.
For me, too, when mm-hmm. I went abroad. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Yeah. That is weird to me, because I'm like, are you saying someone should be called, are you Caucasian American or are you European American? Because yeah, that's where you was from.
Yeah, and that's what you could label them as, right?
Like, but we came here at the same damn time, mm-hmm. or we was here before you. But
I mean, look at the classification. It's white, African American, or black,
right?
It's like, well, why can't we label you then?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you travel here just like we traveled here. Don't get it twisted. Mm-hmm. Under different circumstances, obviously, but you still traveled here from another country.
Right.
So let's label everybody. If we're going to label one or two or three, label everybody. Right. And let's just keep it pushing.
But they don't know their history either.
Oh, they don't?
No. I think,
don't get it twisted. They don't.
They don't know their history either. Like, if you're an American, I think folks know whether or not they come from like a slave owning family, you mm-hmm. know, if they have that in their lineage, they're aware of that.
Oh, yeah,
if they're from the Confederate mm-hmm. South, yes. But they don't know their history either. Ask them to go beyond this country. They might not be able to tell you exactly where their ancestors
came
from.
You just don't have some that are who've actually done the homework and are somewhat proud to say, hey, I'm from this particular country in Europe, is mm-hmm. where my family's from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to love. I guess as a kid, you know, my mom taught me a lot, but I loved history. So reading
me too. Mm-hmm.
The parts about, you know, with slavery going on, I just wanted to know more, because I was like, there's more than just this. There has to be. And I was always curious. For me, it was like, all right, if they're saying we're just slaves and all that, how did we come from that to here? Because if we were just weaklings and just, you know, 3/5 of a man and all that, we wouldn't have made it. There's no way you could go from slavery that's that brutal and actually come out of it and still be as strong as they were. I'm like, there had to be some brothers and sisters back then who you like.
It's a testament to our people.
Right. Yeah.
It's a true testament.
I want that to be a drive, like, wow, we actually came through this bullshit and we here and we still thriving. And if you want to say, hey, now we at least are now accepted, you know, we made it to presidency. They didn't like it, but the number still of voters is in.
I love it.
Right.
Right. But it's kind of like, hey, we making certain steps. Now we run Fortune 500 companies. You know, you got to a point now where at least at some point it was an automatic no. Like, why are you even here for this damn job? Mm-hmm. Get your ass out of here before you get locked up. To now you can at least be considered for the position. You know, a lot of, you know, you got to look into that. You should want to look into that.
And we're not that far past civil rights. People forget that. Now, I just think the kids that are coming up now are just so far removed from that level of struggle. I mean, even we are to some degree. See it systematically, but we, on a mass level, because it still happens, on a mass level, we are not experiencing brutality of that type. You know what I mean? It's happening to individuals all the time, right. But as a group, we're not experiencing, you know, folks for the most part ain't coming to people's houses just dragging folks out in the middle of the night because they feel like it, mm-hmm. you know, because right. they're black. I would like to learn more about who we were prior to becoming enslaved. Yes. And the information that I have learned, I mean, there's a whole lot of African politics that we just are not aware of because Africans sold Africans into yes. slavery. It wasn't like white folks just rode up on the scene with heat and was like, we jacking y'all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was more to it, much yeah. more complicated than that.
Oh yeah. And if them Africans knew what the white folk had in store, they probably wouldn't have done it. Well, at least not the majority of them.
No, it they was were like, packaged oh, we gonna, differently.
Right. Mm-hmm. Packaged, like, oh, we'll just take these, you know, basically captured soldiers or, you know, captured enemy from you. You know, here's some money. It's just like, yeah, we're going to take them and use them as cattle.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Very, very. And I think our kids need to know that. They need to know more about Africa mm-hmm. and the various people and tribes of Africa. Just to have that knowledge of self, because I think that's where America fails in educating all of us. I mean, you start us at the transatlantic slave trade. Well, okay, that's not a start. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. something had to happen before that. You just didn't have a bunch of yeah. black people thrown together on a ship randomly.
Well, you'll get a lot of European history. Yeah. So you get a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like
you have to connect
a particular
dots.
Group of white folk were like, I'm tired of this over here. I want to, you know, come under a different rule. I want my own freedom.
Yeah.
But for black people, you kind of don't, you just get really nothing of Africa. All of a sudden, it's just like you get some Egypt, but that's the only part of Africa you get.
And that's because mm-hmm. white folks claim Egyptians. Mm-hmm. I had a teacher tell me
really
that Egyptians were black Caucasians. I'm like, how is that even possible? Really?
Huh.
And he was like, yeah, based off of like, you know, facial features and like, you know, head size. Like there's been studies shown that they're actually black Caucasians. I'm like, first of all, I didn't even think that was even possible. Like you could be a black Caucasian.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Blew my mind too. Remember, I went home to my parents with that, like Egyptians equal black Caucasians. Did you guys know this?
Not even on, no.
My dad was like, that's a crock of shit. Yeah.
Well, you know what?
to the tenth power.
Well, we know why that is. It's because mm-hmm. they start tracing that. Probably the Egyptians were the ones who created a lot of the stuff that the Romans and Europeans
the
took.
Greeks.
Right.
The Greeks.
Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, we just don't want to let black folk claim that. So we'll just say, well, we was part of it. Like,
but Egyptians themselves at this point have separated themselves from the rest of the continent. My college roommate was Egyptian. Sweetest girl on the planet. I'll never forget, she and I got into a conversation about her not identifying as African American. And what sparked it was, it was a whole clique of Egyptians at UCLA at that time. There was one girl who came to what we call the black building on campus to get free tutoring. And we were going over her information and she was checked off as African American and she was highly insulted. I am not African American. I am Egyptian American. And we all looked at her like, isn't Egypt in Africa? Like, you would be the truest definition of African-American, no?
To the fullest.
She wasn't feeling it. And so I took it to my roommate. And I was like, this girl totally came in and caught a case. And she was like, yeah, we don't identify that way. And she was like, white people try to mark us off as Caucasian, but we don't identify that way either. We're Egyptians. She was like, Egypt, we have our own culture. We have our own language and our own religion. And it's just different than the rest of Africa. Well, I'm like, well, every country in Africa isn't doing the exact same thing either.
Yeah.
But rarely do I hear Ethiopian people call them. Well, they just call themselves Ethiopian, quite frankly. They don't do the whole. At least I haven't heard anybody say I'm Ethiopian American.
No, they don't do that. You know, if you they're from like I'm Nigerian.
Yeah, you just are
South African. They don't say they don't add the American,
American to it at all. But that like that was a thing, and it tripped me out. Like I wanted to be insulted, but the way she explained it to me, I couldn't be. I just had to understand that that's how she was brought up. Mm-hmm. That's how she was raised, and you know, and it's not even a situation where I walked away thinking, "Oh, she's ignorant." I was like, "She was just raised differently. Mm-hmm. She's from Egypt,
mm-hmm.
you know."
That's what she feels she falls into.
Exactly, that's home for her. That. Mm-hmm. Nothing at all, mm-hmm. you know.
We're just raised different here as yeah. American black, you know, as one of our fellow brethren on they like to say, we descendants of American slaves.
Yes.
We just we are our own special breed.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
We are.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was sitting there thinking about earlier, you said not knowing our history, and you had friends that, you know, went and researched their history. I also have done that. Little Ancestry.com account.
Yes.
And it was, made me cry a little bit. I saw the man that owned my great-great-grandfather.
Mm.
Or great-great-great-grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
My great-great-great-grandfather was a skilled laborer or a carpenter,
mm-hmm.
and Johnson was his last name.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the man's signature he had signed for as owning him.
A Johnson.
Yeah.
You know what's funny, KJ? You want to know a secret?
What's that?
My actual last name... My maiden last name
mm-hmm.
should be Johnson.
Really?
Yes. My father decided to take the last name of his grandfather who raised him because his father was nowhere in the picture. But his father was a Johnson, mm-hmm. but he chose to go with Calvert because Solomon Calvert, who was his grandfather, is who raised him. Mm. So technically, I am a Johnson.
Mm. Could be like some long distance cousins.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what else is funny too? I dug a little deeper, and you know, you pay for so much, mm-hmm. and I'm finding that one of my great 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 whatever was actually French. And we're finding out that, you know, got some Creole going there.
Man.
And it's just crazy because I guess from what we had read, they had children together. And the children, were, I guess, were passing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just kind of, you know,
yeah.
went through like that. Which would explain my mom, her skin color and stuff like that. Because she was very light. Toned when I was, she as she got older, she got darker, mm-hmm. age, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she knew either. Like I told her about it, and she was like, "Oh, man, that just explains some things."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, if whoever you are, black, white, whatever, know your history.
Yeah,
it is so important to know where you came from.
Yeah.
Like I said, I got a little teary eyed when I saw the man that signed for my relative.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
it bothered me. But in the same aspect, it was like, it's painful, but now I know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I at least know where this man came from and who he was and what he did.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I can go forward.
Yeah.
Still mm-hmm. sucks, but I know.
Yeah.
Right. And you can look all the tenants before that, you mm-hmm. know, like how, you know, from your relative who was a, you know, a carpenter, you're like, what was his skill? And if he was really talented at carpenting, then you can be like, oh, you know, mm-hmm. you come from a family who's about some shit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, there's you know, ways to look like at you, it positive.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Always.
But you, yeah,
it's just trippy just to see that. Like, you signed your name as owning my relative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I finally have gotten to a point, not that I'm numb to a slavery, but understanding that everybody in the situation, when you think about it, everybody was victimized,
mm-hmm.
white and black, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. the white folks who participated in it didn't have any good idea of what they were doing either. They were focused on money and money only.
Mm-hmm.
And so heavily brainwashed into actually trying to convince them. Like, think about the level of psychosis it has to take for you to convince yourself that even though you know you're looking at another human being, that that person is technically not human.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just crazy.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
To enslave another thing.
Yeah.
To them, it was just, we're enslaving a thing.
Right.
Not a person, it's a thing.
Right.
An object.
Mentally, you have to go through some sort of just a lot of psychosis mm-hmm. to convince yourself, because anatomically you're looking at this person and knowing that they're exactly like you, mm-hmm. just complexion is different,
and that is all.
That's mm-hmm. it, you know. So you have to really, you psych your own mind to mm-hmm. convince yourself that what mm-hmm. you're doing is okay. And I know there had to be many moments where they knew everything about this
definitely.
Is wrong, you know
most
what I mean?
Definitely.
Chris, you want to talk about Rachel a little bit?
From what I know, my mom she's very well versed, and I don't know as much, but I know that she was part of the slave master who seated up this woman and had 4 or 5 children, and Rachel was one of them. And luckily, this particular white man allowed his I don't know if he was married at the time, but his mixed children to learn how to read and write. And that became, I think that's part of the reason why my family is so big into education and have a lot. That side of the family has really shown me the strength of what black women are. There's a lot of black women from my mom's side who are, you know, very well educated, carry themselves up, you know, very well. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like, wow, okay, this is, you know, this ain't nothing like this bullshit on television. You know, VH1 likes to put out there of the image of black women. It's totally opposite. It's like, okay, you can do something for yourself. You can be married and that's fine. And, you know, you just have a career and you are about something and not necessarily leaning on a man or somebody else to do something for you. You can mm-hmm. just go out and do what you want to do, and you're beautiful, however the way you look. And that's just fed into me, and I'm trying to make sure my son gets it as well.
Mm.
Yeah, and Rachel was that slave that you all descended from.
This my particular side.
Oh, yeah.
Side.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you have a name, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has a name.
That's
photos.
Yeah, she has photos. There's 5 of them. She had like 4 other siblings. We're descendants of Rachel.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And this is like,
that's
wow.
powerful,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, and then the picture of her, and it's, you know, she has like the little scarf on her head, like she was a housemaid or whatnot. But she's mm-hmm. like, wow. And it's kind of like, all right.
Was she fair toned? Was she?
No, she's dark skinned.
She was dark skinned?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it's a dim, because when we go to family, I mean, my mom is fair.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents are on opposite extremes. You know, my grandfather is a dark-complected man, was, and her mom was light-skinned, and my grandfather used to call her high yellow all the time.
Ah.
She just like, you chilling with your high yellow ass. She's like,
that's
okay.
Awesome. That's, you know, what's up.
Yeah.
You feel good about it, even though, like, yes, like, okay, this person was a slave. Like, look, I understand at some point, the farther back I go, I'm going to run into a
yes,
family
you're
member who
find
was,
slavery.
Was a slave. And that's fine. I don't like it, but that's the way this country was
mm-hmm.
set up. I'm like, okay, now I have a star. Okay, she was a slave. What did she do? Was she about something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she had her children, what did she try to do with her children? And just vice versa, and not just like, oh, you know, my 5th grandfather was a slave, boo-hoo. I'm like, what happened from trickle down,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be where I'm at now? I mean, that matters to me. I care about that.
Yeah.
And you just want to make sure, you know, our children get the same. They need to know. Like, it feels like things nowadays are getting, they don't want to talk about race at all. You know, because everybody's so equal now, and this post-racism,
post-racial.
Yeah,
America.
That word doesn't even, I don't even, like, that's a word. Yeah, that term means nothing to me because it's just a lie. And, like, it's really, I wonder sometimes, can humans get past racism? Can we get past looking at somebody else and thinking something, they're different, which means something negative?
If all of our minds were erased, perhaps.
Yeah. We're not robots, and so
I'm talking about put you in the microwave and just start over. Everybody right. goes in one big bowl and we start over, like, then possibly
one big nuclear explosion, and whoever is remaining, you have no recollection of anything that happened prior to this moment. It's a trip. It's a trip. Like both of you all, I have a lot of information about my family history, and it's so freaking cliche, but of course I got Indian in my family. But going back to talking to your big mama, talking to my granny actually, and actually really hearing her for the first time. My granny's father died when she was 2 or 3, so she didn't know him, and she's 88. It remains to be a sore spot for her that she didn't grow up with her dad. But she used to always say, and my granny has a real country kind of accent, he's a Geechee. I didn't know what granny was saying. And he said, he's a Geechee. My daddy was a Geechee. And one day I actually took the time to sit with granny. I said, granny, what are you saying? He's a Geechee. He's a Geechee. He's a Geechee from the islands off of South Carolina, Geechee, Gullah, the Gullah people. And it threw me. I'm like, wait, so are you telling me your father is from the Gullah? The Dafuski, the Geechee. And it totally turned me around to some things. Because all this time, my grandmother, she was, to my knowledge, raised in Jersey, but she was born in Arkansas. But because her father was not around, she didn't seem to know too much about he and his people. And I went to mommy. I said, mommy, did you know this? She said, yeah, she's been saying for years he's a Geechee. I said, well, when was somebody, like, we needed to have this conversation. Like, can we talk about this? And it just so happened over here at the California Afro-Am Museum, they were doing a...
exhibit.
Thank you, Lord. I can't have words tonight. They had an exhibit about...
Crown Royal.
Crown Royal. Not on ice. Crown Royal heated up is a problem. They had an exhibit on the Gullah Islands and on Dafuski Island specifically, and we checked it out, and it was just something to behold, thinking about the fact that my grandmother's father's people were from here, you know. And, you know, we've been to South Carolina, you know, North Carolina too, for family reunions, but there's plans for us to actually go to the Gullah Islands and take granny. So she can, you know, just walk that land. Because it's so funny. My granny is very... country is the only way I can put it. And not in the sense... not in any negative sense of that word. My granny is somebody who works... she's very comfortable with the earth. You know, she has the greenest of thumbs. She can grow anything. She can pull a meal out of her backyard and feed you. She likes raising chickens and ducks. And that's very comfortable for her, which is why she lives in Riverside County and not LA County. But that's just who she is. She's a country girl. And my big mama, her mother, nothing like that at all. Big mama, very, very city-fied, honey. Big mama had her nails done and her hair done. And she wasn't plowing in no earth. She wasn't doing any of that. And so it was always interesting, like, God, you guys are so very different. But granny spent a lot of time with her grandmother, who was Pink Ella. Pink Ella was Native American and earthy, from what I understand. She's the one who taught granny to do all of these things. My grandmother spent her formative years with Pink. Yeah, that has just blown my mind. Ever since I finally figured that out and understood what granny was saying when she's hollering Geechee, I'm like so curious and so interested and really want to go there, because I feel like I'm going to go there first of all and just see my grandmother everywhere and then just really understand more about her. Because if there's any life regret I have, is not recording my big mama when she was here. Like, I had a great grandmother until I was 19. I don't know a lot of people that have great grandmothers, much less ones that lived to that long.
Yeah, my grandmother died at 18 when I was 18.
Yeah.
My grandmother passed away.
Your grandmother or great grandmother?
My grandmother passed away when I was 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. My first year of college, she passed away.
Yeah. And my big mama saw me graduate high school, you know, my grandmother's mother. And so I wish, like, I talk to her all the time, so I have a whole lot of stories in my mind, but I really wish that I had recorded some of the things that Big Mama would say, because she had so many wonderful stories, because, you know, she was born, like, 1906, 1908, so there were so many different things that she experienced in her life.
I can imagine.
I think just having her for so long had me really tied in and curious about who my people were. Because again, and just like all our families, the range of looks with people from complexion to everything. You're just like, okay, we are a big jumbled up bag of folks here. What's really going on?
Because you pull from like, you can pull from a generation or two back. Because people start wondering like, well, your mama or your daddy don't look like that. So where'd you get it from? You like,
my grandmother? Right.
Them genes are just in there.
That's it.
Sometimes they dormant and you pass them on and, you know, they awake on the next child. You know, the next generation.
I'm going to show you a picture of Chris's grandfather. You're going to be like, stop tripping. Stop playing.
Yeah, she seen my dad's father and was like, first picture she saw him. We showed him, I think, a young picture of him. And she was like,
his wedding photo.
Yeah. And she was like, that's you. And I was like,
straight up. It is. Facial expressions, everything.
Yeah.
Freaky.
Believe it, man. I can believe it.
We want to thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of The Break, brought to you by Black Is. You can find our podcast on Stitcher and iTunes Radio. Leave us a 5-star review. Let us know what you think. We'll read it on the show. You can also find us at our homepage, blackisonline.com. You can also contact us via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the voicemail, 323-455-4219. Contact us on Twitter, @BlackIsOnline, or hit us up on Facebook, @BlackIsMagazine. Guys, also should check out KJ, support the Welcome to the Village podcast. You can find them on same places you find us. Just look Welcome to the Village. Find them on Twitter @EnlightenMyMind. We had a good time chopping it up with KJ. Got a lot more in the vaults where that came from, so keep on listening. Once again, thanks for your support. Peace.